Let's go ahead and get our Bibles out then. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to stand, if you would, please, when you get there. And we're going to begin reading this morning at verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 20. I'll tell you what, we're going to look at verse 20 just for the sake of it. Let's start at verse number 23 this morning. We'll back up and get those other verses. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." Brother Gwen, would you pray for the message this morning? Everybody can be seated.
Father, we love you, God.
Yes, Lord.
Bless the reading of your word.
Yes.
Bless the preaching of it now, Father. I pray with the help of the witness for God to communicate these.
Yes.
Important, God, these serious truths to us this morning. Father, I ask now that God, as he preaches, that we would examine ourselves. That we would discern the Lord's life.
Yes.
Know whether or not, Father, everything's right
in yes.
us and you and us and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help him now this morning. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, immediately following the sermon, we're going to take communion together. And my understanding is that it's been maybe a year or more since Holy Hills participated in communion. I know that many of you here, you're looking forward to it, ain't you?
Amen.
And this is a day that I believe the church is now ready for. What I want to do this morning, I just want to go through this passage, and I want to exposit this passage a little bit this morning. And what I want to do is I want to look at some doctrinal and also practical truths concerning communion and us taking it. And as we go through this morning and we look at this passage, I got three words we'll look at. And under these three words, I want to explain to you the significance of what we're doing here this morning. Now, some of the stuff I'll go over, some of you know every bit of it. You don't need to know any of it. You already know it. Some of the stuff I go over, some of you would say, "Well, I know most of that, but some of that I didn't." And then some of you here, maybe it'd be some new material for you. But we need to look at it and look at the significance of a church coming together and taking communion. What it means, what it signifies, why are we doing it, and why is it important, and why should it not be taken lightly? You understand? It's not something that we should take lightly. We should be very serious about it. So the first word I want you to think about this morning as I try to explain to you from the passage about communion is the word receive. And you see that there in verse number 23, that Paul received the instructions he gave to the Corinthian church from the Lord concerning this communion. Notice what he said there in verse number 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." So what he did, what he instructed the Corinthian church in how to observe communion, he got that from God. We're not just making this thing up. Listen, this is not just a Baptist thing this morning. This is not a denominational thing. This is a King James Bible thing. We're going to take it right out of the Bible and do it how God tells us to do it. And we're not going to try to line up with any other way that anybody else does it or any other denomination does it. We want to do it how God tells us to do it. Amen?
Amen.
So Paul received the instructions from God, and he gives it to us and gave it to the Corinthian church. Now, I want you to understand something. This communion is to be done collectively, and it's to be done in unity. Notice there in verse number 17, he said, "I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Now, I'm going to explain that in a moment, but notice what he's talking about, them coming together. And then in verse number 34, he warns them not to come together under condemnation, but they're coming together. It's a thing where we as a church come together and collectively partake of this communion together, but it's to be done in unity. It would have been no reason to do this thing 3 months ago. No use in it. The church, listen, we don't agree with everybody on everything. I don't expect you to agree with everything I preach. If you agree with everything I preach, if you were to sit here and say, everything that Brother Dennis has ever preached and ever said from the pulpit, I agree with. I wouldn't like you to say that. That would disappoint me. You say, why would you say that? Because I'm a human. I don't get it all right. That would tell me you're a non-thinker. That would tell me you're following a man instead of the Holy Spirit in this book. You need to figure out what God, and I'm not going to always say it right, and I'm not going to always do it right, and we're not always going to agree with each other on everything. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I mean, you love your wife, I hope you do, and she loves you, and y'all don't always agree on everything. Matter of fact, you might find out you don't agree on much. But you just love each other and adopt the penguin philosophy. Just smile away, boys, smile away. And that's how you get through life. Amen. But it's to be done collectively, and it's to be done in unity. Notice what else it says about it. It's to be done often. Verse number 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. It's to be something that's done, you know, often. Now, there's no instructions in the Bible that you do it every Sunday. And like some of the folks do. And we're not going to do it every Sunday. And listen, I come from a Southern Baptist background. I've told you this. And one thing I will say that I like about the Southern Baptist, they didn't forget communion. You had it four times a year, whether you wanted it or were ready for it or not. Every quarter in a Southern Baptist church, you have communion. Every quarter, you're going to have it four times a year. Now, I appreciate the fact that they didn't put it on the back burner. But one thing I want you to understand, you don't want to do communion so often that it becomes a ritual and it don't mean anything to you. You just say, well, we do communion around here every 3 months. I don't care if the church is just as wicked as it can be and there's no unity at all. Let's just go in there and have communion. That's not what you do. Now, what I like to do is have it about twice a year. I like to have it on Resurrection Sunday. I think that's a good time of the year to have it. And then have it sometime like we're having now around August or September. I think a couple of times a year we remember it, we do it, we practice it, but we don't do it so often that it loses its meaning. Sometimes it's just added to a service and just put on at the end of the service, and we go through the motions just to do it, and it don't even really mean anything to anybody. Only thing it means to the kids is they get to drink the extra grape juice when it's over. You ever seen children run up and do that? I'd like y'all didn't do that here, so I didn't know if they just did that in Alabama. No, if I'm from Alabama, they run up and drink the rest of the juice that ain't used in the communion. So, amen. It's not to be eaten for enjoyment or nutrition. Verse number 20. Now notice what he rebukes them. He really gets on to them about. He says, when you come together, therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this or praise you not? You know what they were doing for the Lord's Supper? It's like a church social. And we're going to have dinner on the grounds, and we're going to run 200 people through there, and 200 people go through the line, and they get two or three pieces of chicken apiece, and the last 10 don't even get a piece of chicken. Well, they done ate it all up. That's not what the Lord's Supper for. It's not for you to come here and eat on something. That was funny. What's wrong with some of you? Got a sense of humor? That ain't what the Lord's Supper is. Not for you to get full on it. It's not to give you nutrition. It's just a little bit of wafer, a little bit of juice that we use. It is, listen, it is not to be mishandled like that. It's not to fill your gut. It's symbolic of something spiritual. It's symbolic of Christ's blood, and it's symbolic of Christ's body. It's not the wicked teaching of the Catholic Eucharist. It's not transubstantiation. It's not the wicked teaching where I have to do this or I can't go to heaven. It's not a thing where this is what puts you into Christ. It's not a thing where they teach that when that fella grabs that wafer, it actually turns into the body of Christ. When a fella grabs that wine and turns it up and chug-a-lug, he's actually drinking the blood of Christ. That's cannibalism. That's wicked. That's ungodly to even think about that. You got billions and billions and billions of people for 2,000 years been eating and drinking Christ. They ain't got enough sense to realize it's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. It's symbolic of something that's spiritually that's happened to us. We've been put into the body of Christ by the shed blood of Jesus Christ when he saves us.
Amen.
You need to understand that. We are to receive the cup and the bread just as the disciples did it at the Last Supper. Notice what it says here in verse number 23. For I have received the Lord, that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This to you is also as you drink in remembrance of me. Now, it says that they took of the cup. It does not say that they drank wine. It never says they drank wine. You're a liquor head. That's why you put it in there. That's your problem. You can't read the Bible. He said cup there. Go back over there and read the Gospels. He never says wine over there either when he's doing the actual Lord's Supper. You know what he said? He says the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine, that's the pure blood of the grape. It's squeezed out of a grape. It's grape juice. It's not wine. I'm not trying to be a good Baptist. I could care less about being a good Baptist. I'm a Bible believer is what I am. I ain't bound by tradition. You say, well, you just a Baptist, so you just abstaining from liquor. No, I'm a Christian that believes that book. I don't give a rip about what the Baptists teach. Amen. You say, well, now, well, maybe we shouldn't have voted you in. If you don't put what that book says over the Baptist, you shouldn't have voted me in. I'm a Bible believer. Yes, sir. Amen. I'm not a fundamentalist that just does it the fundamental way. I do what that book said. I don't know how I got off on this, but I'll preach a minute. We're going to do what this book said. This book governs our life. Not Dr. Smellfungus up there in the university teaching for the fundamentalists that don't even believe the thing. Amen. But it's juice. And we are to receive that. Now let's just calm back down and get to point number two. The next word I think of is reflect. We need to reflect. There's two words that show up in this passage. It's the word examine in verse number 28. And it's the word judge in verse number 31. When we partake of this communion, we are to examine ourselves. We are to look at ourselves and see, is there anything in our life? Is there any unconfessed sin in our life? Is there anything that we're not wanting to get rid of? Is there anything we're not surrendered to? This is a good time, man, to get right with God.
Amen.
As a church together and individually, I'm going to ask you at the end of this thing, if anybody individually needs to come to the altar, just pray where you're at and let God search your heart. And let God show you some things about you. Maybe you're not even aware of, or maybe you are aware of, but you just haven't done anything about it. This is a good morning to do something about it. Then it's got that word judge there. Judge yourself. You judge yourself, or if God has to judge you, as it tells you there in that verse number 31, you'll be chastened by God. You know, one of the best things you can do is look at yourself every once in a while. And when you're going out the door every day, you need to stick you a mirror there in your hallway when you go out the door. And when you walk by that thing, you look in that mirror and go, what are you up to today? You say, see, that's why some of you, now listen, now I'm not trying to be ugly this morning, but I'm going to try to help you, okay? You want some help? That's why some of you can't stay right with God past 3 days. You're worried about what the fella sitting by you is doing. And people on Facebook and my neighbors and those other churches, those other denominations, they're not your problem. You're your problem.
Yeah.
If you would spend half the time you spend on everybody else and worrying about their junk in their life and look at your own life and examine your own heart and judge it. Listen, I've got too much mess in my life I've got to take care of. I ain't got time to worry about your things. We'll just all take care of our own self and we'll all be all right. Amen. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Some of you ain't convinced. This is a time that we reflect. We look at ourselves. We examine ourselves. We judge ourselves as a church and as an individual Christian. And there are some consequences it tells you there in verse number 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. When they were abusing the Lord's Supper and taking the thing unworthily is what it says. Some of them were weak. Some of them were sick. Some of them were dead. Now, let me tell you what I believe about this passage. When you go back in verses 17 through 20 and you look at that thing, there's about three things that talks about there that he's really getting on to him about. And I believe those are some of the sins he's talking about in the church. He talks about in verse number 17, he comes through there, he says there's divisions in verse number 18. And then there's heresies in verse number 19. And then the main thing, he gets on to them about the way they're partaking of the Lord's Supper. You know, divisions. You're not right with each other. Listen, you cannot be right with God if you're not right with each other. Amen. You can't be right with God if we're not right with each other. Now, I can be right with God, somebody not be right with me if I've done all I can. But I cannot be right with God and me not be right with them. So you have divisions, you have heresies. Listen, man, we come in here, we need to be settled on what we believe. Our doctrine needs to be right. We need to be unified. We need to major on the major and minor on the minors, okay? There are some major things that we believe here at Holy Hills Baptist Church. There's a lot of thousands of minor things. I don't care what you believe about the 18 types of Antichrist, how many hairs is on his big toe. I don't care, you know, blue jeans as opposed to dresses, as opposed to long hair, short hair, a makeup, or no cosmetics, or if you put gold in your teeth or silver or copper or whatever you do. I don't care about that. But there's some major things that we've all got to agree on, or we can't have a church. We can't have a local church.
Right.
And we agree on those things. And so, I believe the main thing it's talking about here is that the folks abusing the Lord's Supper, the way they were doing it. Listen, here's the thing I want you to understand. God wants you to examine yourself, get right, and partake of it. Notice what he said there in verse number 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. You examine yourself first, but then you eat and drink of it. In all the years I've been doing communion with churches where I've pastored, in my years of pastor, I've seen many times I just watch out through there, and it'll probably happen today. The communion plates have come through, and the glasses have come through, and there'll be people there that won't partake of it. Always. Now listen, what God wants you to do is to examine yourself and get right and then partake of it. I know what you're doing. You say, well, I'm not ready. I'm not worthy. This stuff is unconfessed. Listen, what God wants you to do is get it right, not to avoid taking it. If you're saved in here, if you're a born-again Christian, you're saved by the blood of Christ, you need to take it. And you say, well, I'm not ready. Then you need to get ready. You need to examine yourself. You need to judge yourself. You don't need just to avoid it and just sit there and say, well, I'm not going to partake of this thing because I'm not right with God. No, get right with God. Don't let the plagues pass you by this morning because you won't get right with God. Just get right with God. Confess whatever it is you need to confess. Put it under the blood so we can all partake of it together. You understand what I'm saying? Any unconfessed sin should be dealt with before you partake of communion. And the Lord's body, listen, remember, it's a spiritual body. It's not a physical thing. It's composed of believers. So we need to look at ourselves. We just had a Sunday school lesson this morning on the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven. That was real good. We're in the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual thing. Don't get so much focus on the physical part of it. That's what the Catholics do. And they got you believing that thing turns into wine and turns into blood. It turns into flesh. Focus on the spiritual part of it. The spiritual part of it is that we are part of the body of Christ. And we become part of the body of Christ because Jesus Christ body was bruised and beaten for you and me, and he shed his blood for us. And that's why we're put in his body. The Bible says we're already seated in the heavenlies, and we're here together today in unity and in one accord. And we're here today, and maybe there's some folks here that's visiting. You're not a member of Holy Hills Baptist Church, but you're in the body of Christ. That's the main thing. And we're gathered here to unity today. And it's a good day just to get things right and examine ourselves and judge ourselves and then partake of this. Amen. Hope you'll do that. And then I think of one more word. And that's the word remember. And I believe there's a couple of things you need to remember. Look at it in verse number 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. But notice what he says. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. You know what you're remembering? You're remembering two things. First of all, you're remembering the Lord's first advent. You're remembering, listen, you're remembering that his body was broken, that he was beaten, and that he shed his blood for you. You're remembering. Every time we do it, we're remembering that we're putting the main thing, that Christ died for sinners, of whom I'm chief. That Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's what we're remembering. But it says until he comes, we're also remembering or thinking about the second advent. You say, well, listen to me now. When I take that thing today, in just a few moments, when we're served up communion, I'm going to go back to a place where Christ saved my poor wretched soul from hell. And I'm going to think about him shedding his precious blood on that cross. And I'm going to think about the people mocking him and making fun of him and beating my poor Savior. And he did it for me. And I'm going to thank him for it. But then I'm thinking about the time he's coming back. I'm thinking about the first time he came, he rode in on a lowly donkey and he had a crown of thorns and he had blood running down in his eyes and he was on a lowly estate. But when he comes back, the Bible says he's going to have many crowns. The Bible says his eyes are going to be like fire, that his vesture is going to be dipped in blood, and he's going to come back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he ain't coming back to save nobody. He's coming back to kill everybody. That's exactly right. And I'm thinking about, man, he's fixing to come back here before you know it, and he's going to get what's rightfully his. And every time I partake of communion, I need to think about that. I need to think about what he's done, and hallelujah, I need to think about what he's going to do. Amen. Amen. It gets me a little excited. Amen. Now we're going to take a few minutes to collectively and privately examine ourselves and judge ourselves. If you're saved here this morning, and your conscience is clean toward the matter, when we get through praying here in a moment, then I'm going to invite you to participate in this communion service this morning. But right now, I just want you to bow your head. Just close your eyes. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here this morning, you're saved, you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. No doubt about it. But you need to take some time and look at yourself. Maybe you just need to come to the altar. I'm going to ask Brother Mark to come on up. Brother Mark, I want you to just play through something softly. I want to give everybody in here, if there's anyone in here, maybe you're not right with God, maybe you're backslidden, maybe the Lord's dealing with your heart about this today, and whatever he's dealing with your heart about today, if you need to come to altar, I want to invite you to do that. Or just where you're at, I want you to think about it. I want you to take a few minutes and examine yourself. I want you to take a few minutes and judge yourself. And then you get your heart and your mind and your conscience clean toward the Lord. And if you're a saved, born-again believer, and your heart's clean before the Lord, your conscience clean before the Lord, and then I want you to join us in a moment in this great thing that we're going to do, to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and to think about that he's coming again. Hallelujah, glory to God. Just as sure as I'm standing here this morning, he's coming back. He's coming back. Amen. At this time, I'd like those that are going to help me do communion this morning to come up, please. And we'll have two on one side if we could, please, and two on the other. In a moment, I'm going to ask Brother Billy to pray. The first part of this, we're going to pass out the bread that represents the Lord's body. I'll read this to you again. What Paul said to the Corinthian church, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Brother Billy.
Father, we thank you.
Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Yes, Lord.